Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful to have you with me on this 14th day of May 2022. I've got a very big month ahead of me here with the first part of the filming of the last Aspire TV programs that I'm going to be doing, and it does bring about a lot of memories and struggles, all of which were so important to me in the course of my lifetime, and I'm very grateful for that. Anyway, you'll be seeing that next year. We are going to break it up into two parts. One in May I'll be filming, and then one again, the last one in September. And I think you'll find these interesting because they are going to be about questions that people have had, little cuts from different segments of my programs. And we'll talk about them, and people always have questions about why did he say that and da-da-da. So we'll talk all about that. But today, we're going to talk about where to begin. Where to begin a spiritual practice if you're even interested. And in this day and age of where we're at in this world with social media and Twitter and all of these abilities we have to share our demented opinions and our one-sided point of views and our prejudices, it becomes rather difficult to even consider an authentic spiritual practice. Most people don't have the patience nor the willingness, the mental and emotional ilk, as it were, to be able to begin a practice, much less enter a practice, much less sustain a practice. Most people are content and susceptible to the whole idea of the collective unconscious. And that's where they live, is in that collective unconscious. They don't mature. They don't grow. They don't get past their emotions and their mental opinions, their biases, their genetics, their biology. They just don't go beyond any of that. And so with all that being said, there is a lot of limitations, as it were, in the course of learning what an authentic spiritual practice is. I mean, really looking at it, why? I talk to millennials from time to time, and they blame us boomers for what is going on in this world and how they feel we've left it for them. But, you know, the same thing happened to us. We were left with past generation difficulties, uglinesses. When I was growing up and Jack Kennedy got killed, that was the beginning of the end of a lot of things in this country. And that wasn't done by my generation. That was done by the generation before me, and it's significant. Now kids don't even know who Jack Kennedy was. They have no idea. Oh, he got shot in the head? Oh, big deal. But it was a big deal, and it is important, and it was a turning point. And when you're not in an authentic spiritual practice, you see these things as occurrences that happen to other people and do not affect yourself. So with all that being said, I'm going to go to the first question here. This comes from Jay. He does not tell me where he lives or where he exists in this planet, but he says, he talks about my work and the body of it, which is huge. And he says to me, how do I begin an authentic spiritual practice as you teach it? Which is a very good question. And Jay, you have to understand, most people would not do this kind of work. Most teachers such as myself, and there are some, I am sure, around, we just are hard to find. We don't talk to people about it. We're not promoting ourselves in a grand way. We do service to humankind like any other teacher would. My service to humankind falls into the category of helping children who have no clothing and need desperate help. Honestly, they do. And we have them all over here in the Central California area, and of course my hospice work, and then there is the work I'm doing right now. And I think it's easy for people to misunderstand all of this and think, oh, he's just promoting himself, but that is not true. But if that's the way you need to look at it, that's the way you need to look at it. I don't bother with a pedestrian mentality. All pedestrian mentalities do is accuse. And when we're accusatory, and we like to find criticism because we wouldn't do what that person is doing, or we think we're better than that person, then it gets into a whole milieu of craziness. So where to begin with a spiritual practice? Right where I left off there. You have to be, as Lhasa said in the Tao Te Ching, you have to be sick of your sickness. If you are not sick of your sickness, if you can continue on with the way you are and you are just looking to maybe adopt a philosophy in your mind and then use it occasionally when you think about it or when you want to prove something to someone else, or you're in a discussion or a debate with a friend, or not, maybe not a friend, then you're missing. And there's nothing I can say or do to change all of that. That's not what it's all about. So let me tell you what it's all about and how difficult this is. And this is why people don't do it. And I like to have very small groups. I make sure my groups are small so I can be attentive to each and every student that is there. And I'll be doing a workshop down in Encinitas this month. And I like keeping my group very, very small because then I can talk to them. And they will have things to say that they wouldn't normally say in a larger group. And I love it. So I make sure, one thing you have to understand, Jay, I make sure the group is small. I vet people and I've said to them, you know, no, I don't think this would be in your interests or whatever. And of course, the best one is to test their shall we say their tolerance level, their metal on the inside. And if they fail the test, then they shouldn't be there. And what is the test? It's about the two things. It's about, and you have to have this if you're going to work on yourself. You have to have a sense of endurance. You have to endure not the teachings and not me, but although sometimes it looks like that, you have to endure your own indifference. And that includes your own stupidity. If you don't have that ability inside you, if you cannot be tolerant, if you cannot endure how you were made and the mechanism from which you do live and operate by and realize it's futile and it's ridiculous and it won't help you in the advancement into consciousness, then you're not equipped to be with an authentic teacher, and there's no way you're going to do it. You're going to need a teacher, no matter if it's me or someone else that has found the way and has awakened, or whether or not you even care to look for that kind of person. You must remember, you can't do this alone. I couldn't do it alone. Nobody can do it alone. And I think there is that idea, oh, I don't need a teacher, which isn't true. And that means that you're not ready for the authentic and you have no endurance. And the next great one, of course, is the one where 99 and 9/10 of people fail. And that is the insult factor. When you get a huge dose of what you have done to yourself, a huge dose of your indifference and how you have not really looked at your life from the premise of anything that is significant, then you're going to be insulted. You're going to think to yourself, and I get this all the time, I can't be that wrong. Yes, you can, and even worse. So If you are of the type of person that is easily insulted, you're set in your beliefs and your ways, you are not fit for this kind of work yet. You need many, many more lifetimes, or many more opportunities. I'm being positive here. Many more opportunities will be there for you to rise and fall, rise and fall. And when you realize that your rise in this world is the fall of your soul, then you start to understand the way very clearly. But this is very hard for people to do. So, Jay, where do you begin? You have to ask yourself, do you have the ilk to do inner work? Are you easily insulted? Can you build it into your lifestyle? Can you be uncomfortable with it? Do you have the tolerance, the endurance to realize just what has happened to you, what you have not and have made of yourself, both not and made, and are you willing to change all that at all, to transcend it? And chances are 99 and 9 tenths, no. So you can continue to listen and read me, and I'm grateful that you do, and maybe we're able to plant some seeds in you for another lifetime. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Jonathan, and he lives in Washington State, and he talks about my work. He read a few blogs, and that's about as far as he went, and maybe a couple of radio programs. And he said, what is so important about spiritual practice? I don't get it. Doesn't seem to be anything more than adopting philosophy. Jonathan. Oh, Jonathan. How much longer must I be with you? You know, I laugh at these questions and I get a kick out of them because they try to reduce the effort and the teachings of the way into the idea of being ridiculous. When a person is as lethargic as you are, according to your email, about what it means to mature into a spiritual practice, an authentic one, what can I really say that would turn the tables there and really help you? Nothing. You're set. You're done. Your life is over. Now you're just going to live out your philosophy and your beliefs, and you're going to call it macaroni, and that's going to be the end of your life. Over and over, you'll be looking for wealth and comfort and pleasure, and that's what you're going to call the meaning of your life. Well, with all that being said, and looking at it from the point of view of futility, you're not going to gain very much by living the way you do. But that's up to you. You can rationalize your evil all you want. I have a student. He's about 200 and some pounds overweight. He's worn out his car, okay, which is very, very old. He wore it out. And he told his daughter recently he needed a new car. And he said, I'm too tall for this car. Too tall. He's had it 18 years. And all of a sudden, he's too tall for the... He can't deal with the fat and the relativeness of how overweight he is. And he can't get into the girdle of his car. There you are. If you can't admit what you really are doing and what has happened to you, if you can't see the obvious for what it is, you're not going to be able to be in an authentic spiritual practice, and it really isn't going to change anything for you. So I would highly recommend, Jonathan, that you go back wherever you came from and stay there until you can't stand it anymore. And when you are absolutely done with the way you have lived and you are absolutely sick of your sickness, that is when it'll all start happening for you and you can make some authentic changes. And that's just the way we're built. I'm out of here. Thank you, Jonathan, for your question. I hope you keep listening and please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are. Another weekend. I got more coming up. I hope you'll join me. Have a fabulous weekend, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.